You're listening to Rethinking Sustainability, thoughts, ideas, inspirations for a livable future. If you tuned in to the last episode of Rethinking Sustainability, you recall that I was recounting the story of Fernando, the Brazilian who was telling me that they needed to clear the Amazon jungle for the benefit of people, and that we can save species from extinction by putting them in zoos. I was so amazed by this, I didn't know how to respond. And as you do in these situations, I sometimes wonder what I would say now that I've had time to reflect on it. Today, I want to talk about that conversation. How do you talk to someone whose views might be completely different to yours? And there are three principles I'm going to use. They are patience, empathy, and questioning. I'll begin with patience, which brings me to the very first step. The first step, though, is to decide whether a conversation like this is worth your effort. What's the likelihood of success? Is there any chance you can swing their point of view? Because you could waste a huge amount of time for no result. And if it goes wrong, you might even harden the person's position. By attempting to sway them, you force them to justify their logic, and once that happens, forget it. And does this person's opinion matter anyway? There are so many people, it's an impossible task, so choose your target carefully. And if it goes well, however, you'll find the right person, it could be a great outcome because you have no better ally than an enemy converted. So would I attempt this with Fernando? The answer is no. I knew him well enough from the work environment, and I would say he had an inflexible attitude. The chance that I'd convince him of anything would be pretty small, and even then I doubt that would have made any difference. Now you can see why I've made patience my first principle. This could be a lengthy and possibly even emotional process, and if at any point you show your frustration, get irritable, make a personal remark or whatever, you've pretty much lost it. And that brings me to the second principle, empathy. This is crucial. Not because you have to agree with them, but because you have to understand them. What values, attitudes, and belief are you addressing? What can you say that would appeal to this person? Now I'd like you to have a look at the diagram that I've created for this episode, because it'll help explain what I'm saying. A fundamental thing about a person is their values. What's important to them? And don't even think about trying to change a person's values, because that isn't going to happen. Also, it can be a bit arrogant to think that your values are superior to theirs. But what you might do is affect their attitudes and beliefs. Fernando told me, in effect, that people are important. Well, that's good, because the best negotiation technique is to start from a place where you have common ground. Next, Fernando was suggesting that clearing the jungle would help make things better for Brazilians. Well, I agree, you must try to make things better for people. But for how long? It might improve their lot for a while, but ripping the jungle out like this is a path to ecological collapse. The river ecology will be wrecked, and along with it, fish and other resources that could be harvested. And stripped of its vegetation, land for agriculture soon loses its productivity. And so here, Fernando's understanding is so dim that changing his view would be a monumental task. And if I were to attempt it, how might I do that? To give you a clue, imagine you're a car salesman having a conversation with a potential customer. It goes something like this. I have this car for you. It'll do 0 to 100 kilometers per hour in 4 seconds. It's got track-ready suspension. This car can do a lap within a few seconds of the record. I just want to take the kids to school and go shopping. Bang, you've immediately lost your sale. Pack up and go home. Can you see what went wrong? Of course, you launched in before knowing what that person wanted. I could have given Fernando a lecture about why the ecology of the Amazon jungle is important, but without knowing his thinking on the subject, it'd be odds on that I'd be wasting my time and probably aggravating him in the process. Actually, aggravating me too, I think. Which raises the question, how do you know what the other person's thinking is? Actually, I've just given you a clue. The answer is, you ask them. And that is our third principle, questioning. In fact, the art of strategic questioning is incredibly powerful, and I highly recommend an article which you'll find online and I'll also post with this episode. The article is Strategic Questioning, an Approach to Creating Personal and Social Change by Fran Peevy. It's a big topic that I have time to talk about today, so here's a couple of quotes to give you the idea. And I'll make the bold statement, this is one of those few very special articles that has really changed my thinking. It's an incredibly powerful technique. Fran Peevy says, strategic questioning involves a question and a special type of listening. We can use strategic questioning to help friends, co-workers, political allies, and adversaries to create their own solutions to any problem. And then, strategic questioning is a process that usually changes the listener as well as the person being questioned. A strategic question opens both of us to another point of view. It invites our ideas to shift and to take into account new information and new possibilities, and involves that special creativity that can forge fresh strategies for resolving challenges. Now, this kind of questioning is crucial because the fundamental mistake we all make is supposing that the other person thinks like you do. You can't assume your logic is their logic. Be like the horse whisperer. Understand the other person and talk on those terms. And don't expect them to be swayed by logic, by evidence, by facts. I'm a science writer, I hang out with sciencey people, and I care about data. But even I'm not always rational. I remember once an occasion around 3 p.m, 16th of March, 1996. I was not rational. So evidence might work, but dare I say, evidence shows that often it does not. Because are people rational? Are we rational in the scientific sense? Just look at what passes for facts in politics. In the US, a pathological liar has convinced millions of followers. Facts? LOL. Okay, so that's my Fernando story, and I think you know by now, it doesn't end with me convincing him when he goes off to become an environmental warrior. In fact, we never actually even discussed the topic again, and almost certainly he's continued to this day with his views pretty much unchanged. But before I go, here's another quick story that does have a better ending. And I should add, I don't hold myself up as a master of doing this kind of thing because I cock it up on a regular basis. Anyway, on this occasion, not long ago, we were on a boat going down a river in the Tarkine in Tasmania, and the captain was delivering to us his frank and fearless opinion on the topic of sustainability. I waited for a while before interrupting him with a question. So in the 4 hours we'll be on this boat, do you know what will be different when we get back to the jetty? He looked a bit nervous for a moment before replying, no, is it something I should be worried about? Well, I replied, in those 4 hours, world population will have increased births over deaths by somewhere around 45,000 people. Oh, and at that point, another person was with us, launched to an impassioned and well-informed speech about why population growth is at the core of our sustainability crisis. Okay, our captain replied, score. You've been listening to Rethinking Sustainability, and if you'd like to contribute to this series, get in touch with me, Rod, at TaylorAM2000@zoho.com.